Welcome to a series of audio interviews direct from the Verbier Festival in Switzerland, the 2.5-week celebration of music which takes place up in the beautiful Swiss Alps, is now in its 21st year and attracts the creme de la creme of classical musicians, from pianist Evgeny Kissin and soprano Barbara Fritterly to cellist Misha Maisky, violinist Joshua Bell and conductor Daniel Harding. So it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to talk to some of them while they were here all in one place. I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and in the second of our Verbier interviews, I talked to Russian cellist Misha Maisky, who joined me just before his performance, alongside, among others, pianist Evgeny Kissin, violinist Renu Capuçon, violist Nabucco Imai, and his own daughter, Lily Maisky, herself a brilliant pianist. Misha Maisky, welcome to the Verbier Festival. This is a festival you've appeared a lot in the past. What brings
you
coming
back? It's my 20th time.
Wow.
I didn't even realize this until last year when it was 20th festival, anniversary festival, and at the opening concert, Martin Engstrom made a speech and quoted some statistics, and apparently I'm the artist who've been here the most, 19 times out of 20, and played, like, I don't know, 67 concerts or something. And Evgeny Kissin being distant second with 17 festivals and 40 something concerts.
Is that right? Well, I mean, what brings you back to, keeps you coming back, apart from obviously the beautiful scenery,
the fresh air? Yes, exactly, particularly when the weather cooperates, when you can actually see the beautiful scenery. No, it's, you know, I come always for full period, 2 weeks or even 2.5 weeks, with my family. They enjoying all kind of activities here. My 9-year-old son is playing tennis and all kind of other stuff they do, and go to the mountains and so on. And I and my wife enjoy listening to an incredible amount of music because it's rather unique. I mean, there are many wonderful festivals, but I don't know another festival where there's such a concentration of both quantity and quality of music and musicians. And, you know, since for me music is my hobby to start with, then happened to be my profession, but mostly I still passionately love music and enjoy listening to it. And unfortunately, well, traveling as much as I do and playing as much, I don't get many chances to go to live concerts, occasionally only. So here is, I do it 2-3 times a day. Mm. When I don't rehearse, it's my main activity. And because I, first of all, I listen to music just for pleasure, but as well for continuous education. Mm. I think it's very important continuously to refresh your mind and musical taste, to develop it. Because I always say, as important as it is for us to train our hands, we are like sportsmen who have to be in shape. It's even more important to train your mind in order for your mind to be leading force, your hands following your mind and not other way around, which happens unconsciously, of course. But, so I love listening to my colleagues and, I mean, cellists, and not only cellists, of course. And playing with different musicians gives you, again, fresh ideas, fresh energy and perspective on music which you think you know.
And other musicians that you've never played with before.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes I meet old friends and play with people whom I know and like very much. Or exactly opposite, make new acquaintances and combinations, and it's always very exciting.
Mm. And do you get involved with any of the masterclasses or the young musicians that are here? Because there are some wonderfully talented young kids.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yes, I did it in the first festival in 1994. I did a whole festival masterclass in addition to playing, and it was just a little bit too much for me because of time. Then you don't have time for anything else and energy. But now with family and kids, small kids, it's I try desperately to spare at least some time to spend with my family. And as well, you know, I sincerely feel that it's not my thing, so to say, to teach in a conventional meaning of the word. When young cellists come backstage after the concert and ask me, do you give lessons? I always say, I just now did. Mm. that's the best I can do, to share everything what I feel, love, and hopefully understand about, know about music through my playing. And teaching is a different profession. There are wonderful teachers who couldn't play two notes and other way around. And of course, there are those who combine, obviously. But, you know, I think we all have talents and limitations. There are very few geniuses who can do everything great. There are people who think they are geniuses.
that's different.
Exactly. That's where the problem starts. And I think the most important talent is to figure out what your qualities are and what your weaknesses, and not to make fool of yourself by doing what you cannot do well. That's why I don't teach. I don't conduct, unlike practically all of my colleagues. I don't, you know, the one of my favorite viola player jokes, which I transformed to in connection with me not conducting, is about the definition of a real gentleman. It's someone who can play viola but does not. So I'm a nice guy. I don't conduct. Yeah, I could try, but I don't.
You don't want people to hate you in the end. So no, there we are. Yes.
No, but so see, yeah. So yeah, I, for me, quality was always more important than quantity. So I try to concentrate. Even in my, I mean, I try to divide all my time and energy between my professional life, my music making, and my family. I have five children. I show to you how great they are. Anyway, but and it's already difficult enough. I don't know how people manage to do everything else without sacrificing quality. And even in my playing career, I even then I limit my repertoire in a certain way to things which I feel I can do justice to instead of just playing everything.
You must be very proud to be appearing on stage for your daughter.
Absolutely.
She is a terrific pianist.
Oh, thank you.
And what is it like to be able to play in a professional concert at an international festival with your own daughter?
Oh, it's basically as simple as dream come true. Because when she was born, 2 years later, her brother, Sasha, my older son, who is violinist, was born. I told to their mother at the time, my wife at the time, she's still their mother. Sorry, my English is not perfect. Anyway, I told her, you know, a dream of my life would be if Lily would play piano and Sasha would play violin, we could travel, play together. She said, oh, it would be nice, of course, but don't hold your breath, because very often children of musicians don't want to become musicians, or like good wine, they're not gifted enough, it takes generation in between. Then my reaction was, okay, in this case, my dream is to play with my grandchildren. If not in 20 years, in 40 years, I have time. Luckily, I didn't have to wait so long. We play with Lily regularly since about 9 years already or something. It's her birthday today.
Is it really?
It's her 19th, and maybe, I think she missed one more festival than me. So it's her 19th time having birthday out of 27 in Verbier. During the first festival, on the 27th of July, I played recital in the church. And after I played four encores with my pianist, and then for the fifth encore, Lily came on stage and played Bach C major prelude from Royal Temple Clavier, and I played Gounod Ave Maria with her. So she made her debut at Verbier Festival at the age of 6. She was turning 7 the next day.
Goodness me.
And today she's turned 27.
Of course, kids in those days, when they're 6, are fearless, so she wouldn't have had the nerves.
No. And then since then, we played quite a few times in the same church, complete recital. So it's like full circle, and it's true. It's for me. It's really hard to describe with words the sensation, because I would say I'm the luckiest cellist in the world for many different reasons. First of all, being the only cellist who had this great privilege to study with both Rostropovich and Pitigorsky, as well meeting Casals 2 months before his death. It was just like a miracle. Actually, he was almost 97 years old. Playing with Leonard Bernstein, more than 20 concerts and making 3 recordings is just quite unbelievable for me as well. What a luck it was. And my partners, I mean, my cello, story of my cello, we celebrated 40 years anniversary last November since we met and fell in love and and so on. And so many things. But my partners in chamber music, starting with, you see, last night I was at the concert in the church, and Clemens Hagen and Kirill Gershwin played all 5 Beethoven sonatas. And I was remembering exactly 45 years ago, in 1969 in Moscow, conservatory still, I played with Radu Lupu, complete Beethoven sonatas and variations. No, we did in two concerts with, in combination with variations, but it was for his final exam for chamber music. We offered for choice all Beethoven sonatas.
And they really are duos, aren't they? I mean, there's no sense that, you know, the piano parts are, you know, formidable. They're real tour de forces, aren't they?
Absolutely.
I mean, to do them all in one stretch is quite something.
It's quite something altogether. And then I was lucky, I was lucky already then to play with such a great pianist like Radu Lupu. And then, of course, many, many others, which I'm even afraid to start mentioning because I'll forget, obviously, somebody. But Marta Argerich being probably the most important because it's very long-lasting friendship and professional relationship. We're going to celebrate 40 years next year since we met and still playing together. But what I mean, I've been on stage with many incredible, very different, but incredible musicians. But still, playing with my daughter, with my children, with both of them, as a trio, a Beethoven triple concerto, Brahms double with it, it's something else which really I cannot even start.
Yeah.
I mean, attempt to describe it was.
You've referred to yourself as a sort of half amateur still.
Yes.
And do you think that keeps the joy in the music making? And do you think that's something that you've handed on to your children as well?
I hope so very much. That's the reason I call myself half amateur, because I still passionately love music. You know, I had occasion when I just came to Israel. Once I was invited Friday night to make chamber music, play some chamber music with real amateur musicians, doctors, scientists who meet once a week. They don't have time to practice. They don't play very well. But I tell you, I just couldn't believe this energy in the room, and the joy, passion. It was just amazing. I will never forget as long as I live. And so I proudly consider myself half amateur.
Yeah.
Other half I still have to earn my living. But as well, I don't know much about cello playing as such. That's another reason why I don't teach, because...
You just do it?
Yes, I somehow do it.
Such modesty, Michel.
No, why modesty? No, it's not modesty. No, it's not false modesty. It's just being realistic. I think... I never understood how some classical musicians, very few, but some classical musicians, when they become very successful, get full of themselves, so to say. I understand pop artists, you know, there's such a hype around them. And they mostly perform in their own music, so it's something else. But we, when on a daily basis, we're confronted with such incredible geniuses of great composers, Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, and so on. It makes you feel so insignificant and humble and just like a tiny little mosquito in comparison. So I think it's totally normal.
Tell me a little bit about the music you're playing tonight. I'm thoroughly looking forward to the concert. You're playing some Ernest Bloch.
Not only, it was somewhat changed. Yes, it's an interesting, unusual program, which was conceived by Yevgeny Kisin. It's a program of Jewish music, so to say. I'm playing one piece by Bloch, The Prayer, and another one, which is prayer as well, but called Kaddish by Maurice Ravel. So it's the Bloch piece is originally written for cello, Ravel's piece written for voice, but was transcribed for violin, and I just use the violin part and play on the cello. It's two very beautiful pieces, which one doesn't hear very much and doesn't play very often. And so that was occasion to do something different than usual, not just Bach suites or Beethoven sonatas or Brahms, which I love and do as much as I can. And the recital a few days ago, I played with my daughter a combination of Bach and 20th century. I played Bach sonata and Shostakovich, and I played Bach's All Suite with Britten Sonata, which is one of my favorite pieces of 20th century. But tonight it's something else, and I'm really quite looking forward to this. But I must say that I look forward to every concert. Because I have a rule, kind of. I never play music which I don't like enough to be in love with at the moment that I play. I believe it's very important, because my goal is not just to reach people's ears through musical, through sounds, you see, or deeper than that, to reach their minds through musical ideas. This is just part of it. I believe on the highest level, one has tried to reach people's heart. And in order to have chance to do this, it has to come from your heart. It has to originate from your heart. And for this, you have to do it with love. Because long before Beatles, you know, all you need is love. And I sincerely believe it's true. No matter what you do in life, if you do it with love, that's what makes the difference for the end result. So I limit myself playing only music which I sincerely can feel as a favorite piece of music at the moment that I play it. And if you do it this way, then every concert, and if you feel, have this attitude, which I think is very important, it's one of the necessary qualities of really great musician, I believe, to love and to respect the music we play and the people for whom we play more than yourself. And certain humility, which as important as our role as interpreters is, of course, still we should never forget that we are just the messengers between the great composers and the and the audience, and we should try as hard as possible, instead of pulling down the great music closer to earth, so to say, to people in the audience, we should try exactly opposite, to bring people a little bit up, higher up, closer to great music. And in order to do this, you have to have this attitude, which came to me very naturally. I never thought about it even, and never learned this, I don't know, but it was very much confirmed in my relationship with Leonard Bernstein, who had very similar attitude. In every concert, it's the most important concert for you. Every concert you should treat like it's your last concert, because you never know. It might be. So I don't know what does it mean to take it easy or whatever. And it doesn't make any difference for me if it's Carnegie Hall or Royal Festival Hall in London or Berlin Philharmonic or Verbier tent or any small village in Germany or in Japan or anywhere else. Because again, it's not the place that matters. It's the people who play and your sincere attempt to spoil the great music as little as possible. Because, you know, sometimes people come backstage after, particularly after Bach solo recitals happens this, I don't know why. People say, wow, you made this music sound so great. I said, wait a minute. The only thing I try to do is to spoil it as little as possible. Because it's such a great music, no matter how hard we try, inevitably we can't do justice to it.
You have high standards for yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the only way to try to improve and to get a little bit closer to this great music.
Well, I am thoroughly looking forward to hearing you playing later on. And Mr. Majski, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
It's a real pleasure, and thank you.